Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We are really in this together, and each of us has a part to play, and that's a fantastic thing. That brings us together, that draws us together, that keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, does anyone remember what we were thinking about last week? This isn't a test or anything like that, but just think back. If you were here last Sunday, what was it that Lou was talking about in the service? I know it can be difficult to remember even what happened yesterday or what we were thinking about, let alone a week ago. And some of us weren't here last Sunday morning, or we were helping with the kids' groups, and we might not have had time yet to watch or listen to the recording of last week's service, so it's not pressure, but just cast your mind back to last Sunday if you were here. What were we thinking about? What were we discussing? Oh, fantastic, Lindy. And, I mean, I don't know if you've kind of remembered, as Lindy has, but those three things have kept coming back to me over the past week in a really helpful way. And it links to one of the things that we were thinking about, which was waiting. We read the parable that Jesus told about the 10 young women who were waiting for the bridegroom with their lamps and their oil. We asked the question, what are we waiting for? And how are we waiting? And this thing of keeping watch, keeping faith, keeping meeting, was the kind of the summary of that. And we ended up thinking about this question: how can we encourage one another? How can we spur one another on? And that's because we looked at a few verses from the book of Hebrews. It might be helpful if you can grab a Bible, if you have a Bible, to turn to it again now. It's Hebrews chapter 10. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 1208. So I'll just give you a minute to find that. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1208, and if you can find verse 24. And I'll read it. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And we did that last Sunday. We spent some time thinking together about what can be helpful, what can be encouraging, how we can do that, how we can spur one another on. And there were a few people who shared their thoughts. And that was a really good thing to do. But being realistic, it's probably not what we've been thinking about since last Sunday, this past week. And as I've just said, it's not easy to remember things from day to day or from week to week. And it can be hard to stay focused on just one thing. But this one thing is really important. It's really important. It's something that we want to keep focused on. It's something that is for all of us. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Or in other words, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. One of the things that we've said in terms of our vision for Portsmouth Church is that we want to be a disciple-making church. We want to be a church that helps and encourages people to be disciples of Jesus. And that's something we want to be talking about, something that we want to explore together. But it's, if we just use the words, I know from my own experience, just using the words discipleship or disciple-making, it's not enough. We need to be practical if this is going to make a difference. And that's where this instruction, I think, is really helpful. Let's think about how we can motivate each other to acts of love and good deeds. But what does that mean in practice? And are we doing it? For me, this is what disciple making is all about. It's not just thinking about ourselves, but thinking about others. It's not just thinking about what we're doing and how we're living out our faith, but also asking ourselves what's going on with those around us. How are others doing? What will help those around us to live a life of faith and love and to keep on doing that? And what will help others to keep growing in their faith? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And even this instruction itself isn't a hard law. It's an encouragement, isn't it? Let us do this. Let us do this together. And I think we'd agree that if we did this, if we put this into practice, the world would be a better place. At the moment, it feels like the world is becoming a lot more unpredictable and unstable in lots of ways. Things are changing. We can all feel that, I think. But let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And it makes me think of what we were looking at recently in 2 Timothy. There's quite a strong link, I think, between the book of Hebrews and the last letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. You've got the example of Timothy himself. Paul says, I remember your faith, the sincere faith that first lived in your mother and your grandmother, and they've passed it on to you. So that's an example of how this works in terms of family life. But then Paul goes on to encourage Timothy, as Lou's already said, to find people that he could entrust the gospel to, the things that he'd heard and learned from Paul about Jesus. So let's just think of one person, shall we? Think of one other person. Maybe look around, see who's here in this room now. And think of one person that this week we could spur on to love and good deeds. And think, well, what would that look like if we were to do that? What would that actually look like? And if it helps us to think, well, what is it that encourages us? What is it that inspires or spurs me on towards love and good deeds? We're all different, it's true, but perhaps starting with, well, what's an encouragement to me, and then how can I be an encouragement to others, is a helpful thing. And remember the relay race and passing on the baton. And in that context, a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on in doing that. Because this is reality. This is the reality of our life of faith. This is what's going on. Sometimes we see it really clearly. Other times we don't. But this is what God's doing down through the generations. And we need encouragement. We all need encouragement. So let's just take a moment to think. What is it that spurs us on? I think Lou is going to go round. No, actually, I think Jeff has got a PowerPoint that he's going to type some things into. Last week, we were thinking more about how we can encourage others. Now, thinking about what encourages us. What is it that spurs us on to pass on to the next generation or inspires us to love a good deed? So I think Lou was going to go around with a microphone, and then Jeff's going to type up on the screen. So we can do this very quickly. Just brainstorm. What are some of the things that spur us on? It can be anything. It can be very simple things. What spurs us on? What has spurred us on, even in the past week?
Praying with friends and other people.
Praying with other people?
I'm going to say one. Hannah nagging me.
Need a nagger, you do.
Need someone who's on your case. What other things?
Yeah, receiving an encouraging WhatsApp message.
Yeah.
Someone else identifying something you're good at and encouraging you to do it. I think sometimes we're so British we don't acknowledge that we're good at anything.
Sometimes we need people to tell us.
I think having someone to keep me accountable for what I do and how much time I spend with God.
Jeff, I'm giving you time to type. Being challenged, you know, getting a kick up the bum.
Amen. What's Jeff going to write?
Anything else that spurs us on, that helps us, that encourages us?
Looking forward to eternity.
Being reminded that there is something to look forward to.
Being part of a community with a shared vision together.
Someone sharing with me what God has been doing in their lives.
My home group.
I think it's something that contains all of those things, but it's for me, it's people investing in me, giving me their time because they want to spend it with me.
Yeah. Yeah. It is good to hear about the things that encourage us and spur us on, because that can give us ideas of how we can be someone who spurs another person on just by doing some of those things. And it doesn't take a lot. I think it takes God to prompt us and push us to do the things that he wants us to do. And thinking back to the passing the baton on and the relay race, we want to be thinking about how we can all, each one of us, spur someone on who's perhaps in a younger generation to us, so that we see that baton being passed and the next generation coming along. But we need Jesus. We can't do any of this without Jesus. And the band's going to come up and we're going to sing our next song now.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it says, only in your will that I am free. And we spend our lives learning that, don't we? Probably most of us have had a time when we've been rebellious in some way. We've tried our own path. I certainly know that I have. And my rebellious stage started bang on what statistics show at the nice tender age of 15, when I decided that Jesus was great as a side serving, but I didn't want him, as it were, as the whole meal. I thought that I could choose my will and that God would nicely fit in with what my will was. And it wasn't until I hit 20, when my life is in tatters around me, that I pray that prayer, God, you had a bit of me, but now you get it all. It's all yours. Because only in your will am I free. We think, aren't we? We're sold that freedom is that ability to choose whatever we like. And it is, in a sense, we have free will. But true freedom comes by choosing God's will for us. It's learning, isn't it, that he wants the best for us. He knows the future. He knows the plans. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. And that he's good and he loves us and he delights in us and he wants the best for us. And we as adults struggle with that, don't we? So it's no wonder that our kids, starting 14, 15, are struggling. They're faced with a choice, aren't they? Do I, A, continue this thing that my parents have dragged me along to and make it my own? Or do I choose my own will over God's will? In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, "Flee from youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Notice that phrase. He says to him really clearly, "Flee from youthful passions." And I can remember this coming into practice when I became a Christian at 20, and I'm stood there in a compromised position, shall we say. And I'm hiding now in the bathroom, knowing that I've got to flee from youthful passions. And for me, maybe it was more practice, but today's young people don't just have that. They have this magic device in their pocket that is clamoring every second of every day for their attention, their will, their desires, their hopes, their dreams. We know that every app has built into it an addictive nature because they can monetize you. How long you spend on the app is how much money you're worth. And our young people are facing this all the time. We need to be an active church that is praying for our young people. You can do that every week on a Tuesday lunchtime. You can either come into the building or you can join the WhatsApp group because they need our prayer. They need us to be taking up a sword of the Spirit that is the Word and fighting for their wills. It's not enough that they sit amongst us like osmosis, that they're just randomly going to pick it up. There is a battle for their souls and their wills. So he says, flee. Secondly, he says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Pursue what God wants. Develop in faith. Live a life of love, finding that peace in Jesus. It is an active decision to swim against the tide. And we ourselves know how much easier that is to swim if we've got someone alongside us who's actually got into the water with us. They didn't just throw us a life buoyancy and say, good luck. But they got in there with us. They were cheering us on, saying, come on, let's swim against the tide. And then he writes, along with those. Building on that, to pursue Jesus with others. To feel like they're not alone. That there's others who think what they do. There's role models just a little older. And that's tricky in our church because we already said we have, as it were, a little gap. It's growing and it's filling, but it's still there. That's why our youth are being led by people in their 40s, in their 50s, almost now their 60s. It's not just the person generation above them, because there's a gap. And we need to pray. I know that there are people in this church that take that seriously. They pray for my girls. And we need that. We pray it when we dedicate a child. We say, we're committing to pray for you. And we need to be doing it. We need to be walking alongside. You might think, do you know, I can't, I just can't. And that's fine. But we can all think about, well, what can I do that will release someone who can? Maybe you say, oh, I couldn't do teenagers, but I could hold a baby. Well, maybe you holding a baby in creche will allow the creche person to go, well, I'll do pebbles. And the pebbles person say, well, I'll do boulders. And the Rockies person say, well, I'll do youth. Can you see? We can all play our part and we can all be praying. I want us to spend a few minutes to think about what this church would look like and feel like if those people between, let's say, 16 and 27 were flourishing amongst us. What would it look like to have the full 15% of our church in that age group? And not just existing, but flourishing. Pursuing Jesus, righteousness, faith, and love. And doing it with others. Fleeing from unrighteousness. What might that look like? Because I can stand here and I can say, oh, I think it would look like this. But this is a shared vision as a community. What do we want it to look like? So I'm just going to give you a moment just to pause and think, how would it be different? What would today feel like if 15% were between 16 and 27? What would it look like if that 15% were pursuing Jesus with all of their heart, their mind, their soul, their strength, that they were discipled well, that people were alongside them, that they in turn were passing on what they know? And that's not that that doesn't happen. We've already got people in year 10 and 11 teaching the word to those in year 7 and 8. So it is happening. But I want us to just imagine, what would it be like for us to flourish in discipleship and building up of that age group? So I'm going to be quiet. I just want you to take a moment. I know we've asked you to say a lot today, but just one more. I just want us to get this sense of shared vision. What might it look like if that age group's flourishing? Would anyone like to just say? It doesn't have to be masses, just one thing that you think you would see in our community or feel. Just be brave.
Energy.
A lot more energy. Some of us may not like that.
Maybe cross-generational spiritual mentoring.
That was really nice. If you didn't hear that, cross-generational spiritual mentoring. A lot more of that.
The older generation have got through to younger people to carry on the mantle.
Yeah. So, like, we've got those young people ready to carry it on.
Maybe a bit controversial, but a wider range of worship songs.
Definitely. We'd have to put up with that, wouldn't we? Come on. They'd be all like, I like this new song. We'd have to sing it.
I was immediately thinking of volume. So two services, and perhaps the second service sort of in the evening. So if you are having a bit of a hectic Saturday night, can't quite
that can't be you, Admiral.
Peel yourself off the mattress for 10 o'clock. There's no excuse to come along to a 6 o'clock service.
It might be that we outgrow.
Maybe their passion, energy, and excitement might challenge the rest of us to be more passionate, more energetic, and more excited about Jesus.
We're going to get challenged, aren't we?
I was going to say that. They're going to ask us the difficult questions, and they're going to expect answers to them.
I know. We don't like difficult questions, do we?
I think it would also produce new, exciting routes for outreach as well. And getting involved in what they're involved in and pulling in other people and enabling.
Yeah. Anyone else? Hannah, you had something. Oh, did you not have your hand up a minute ago? Did I make that up? Okay. Are you sure?
I think challenging and encouraging each other in this safe space means that when they get faced with it, when they go out in the world, they kind of know what they believe, they know what to say, and they can say no or you know, show people what they believe.
So if they're growing and we've equipped them well, when they go out, they know what to say. They know. They know what's coming and they're ready. We've got them ready.
Potentially more overseas mission partners?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Because they're all passionate and they want to go. You like that? Oh, I see. Hannah's thing is more of an agreement. That's great. There's someone over there. I'm sure I saw a hand. No. Is someone stretching, maybe? Even just in that, we're beginning to think about a shared vision of seeing us hand on, disciple well, and see them flourish. So let's just end. We're going to pray together now for this coming year. Just wait a minute. Lord Jesus, it's your church. We acknowledge we can't make anything happen without your spirit. But we long to see the next generation flourishing and growing and being used for your kingdom. Jesus, we're sorry for the times we have let this fall. We've not passed on well. Or we've been so laid back. Jesus, we know it's all you. We know only you can really bring someone to faith, can really help them flourish and grow and do well in life. But we pray as your people here in Portsmouth Church, we pray for hearts that long to pass on what we know and long to see your kingdom flourish and grow and spread. We pray for those people in our community right now between that 16 and 27. Lord, you know them by name, and some of us know some of them, some of us know none of them. Some of us know all of them. But Jesus, we want to pray today that they would grow in love and faith, in good works, that they would flourish in your kingdom. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing today, whether they're in this building or they're out with friends or they're home with family, we want to pray that they'd grow with you. Jesus, help us to pass on well what we've been entrusted with. Lord, may this community flourish. May we see some of the things that we've thought about this morning. Maybe if we've said them when we haven't said them, may we see them come to pass. And we ask this in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.